Hey, this is Damien O'Doherty with Center Maryland. We're doing a new podcast to commemorate the 10 years we've been working together with Marylanders of all sorts at Center Maryland. So it's called The Lobby, and we're calling it that because we're trying to find some way to recreate a lot of the positive energy that government affairs and public affairs professionals, legislators, policy analysts all feel in the lobby. So much of the, you heard about Hamilton and the room where it happened. So much of the time, the room where it actually happens is in the lobby, and or at least upon the relationships built in that lobby. And so in that regard, we have two awesome guests today. Gloria Sanchez Ifakauchi, thank you so much for joining us. We understand you just won a huge award. I think it was the name, the top lobbyist from the Institute of Lobbying and Ethics. Is that right on?
That is correct. Yes. Yes. It was a really great surprise and a great honor. So, yeah.
And you are with Cornerstone, who has become a cornerstone in Annapolis and so many other state capitals around the country. Big news over the weekend. Thomas Mack Middleton, the former chairman of the Finance Committee, is going to be on Team Delora.
we're really happy to have him. It was really a great addition to the team for sure. And he hit the ground running, come in, joined our staff meeting we have early on Mondays, and just part of the team. So we really, really are pleased to have him.
Well, speaking of the team, the ultimate team player, I think that I've seen in the House of Delegates and the Baltimore City Council, now as the chief legislative officer to Governor Larry Hogan, Kiefer Jackson Mitchell. Welcome to Center Maryland.
What's up, my friend? It's great to be here. It's great to be with Delora. I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, I just want to ask both of you real quickly while we have you, sort of top issues that you see. Kiefer, I'm going to put you on the spot first, sort of the top issues that you see generally, which I guess in your role are the top issues
right.
that everybody's going to be dealing
That's
with.
That's right. Well, here in Annapolis, we are just a little over a full week into the legislative session. And the top issue is COVID. Everything from healthcare and telehealth to the recovery and relief. So at least for Governor Hogan, the top issue is the Relief Act of 2021 that he introduced at a press conference back on January 11th, which is a $1.1 billion sort of stimulus package. That will benefit small businesses and individuals and families. So that's his top priority. It just was introduced in the Senate yesterday in the House of Delegates. And so those two bills, that bill is in play, and hearing is actually next week, I believe, at least on the Senate side. And if you want me to, I can walk through what it does real quick. And other than that, I'm happy to answer any questions. But that's the top issue, at least for Governor Hogan, in terms of the Relief Act of 2021.
Before we get to Delora on this, just sort of general top issues that she sees, Kiefer, can you talk to me? Do you think this governor's proposal is sort of has the general directionality of support with the Speaker and the Senate President? And it's a question of what gets it included and how it gets included.
Yeah, I mean, we have divided government. So you have, Republican governor and a majority Democrat legislature. When the governor announced this back in January 11th, we didn't hear a whole lot of, well, that's not enough. That's a terrible idea. Generally, the feeling has been that it sounds like a great proposal. But as you know, here in Annapolis, folks are going to, legislators are going to want to add some things to it or tweak it. And that's just the legislative process. But overall, the governor's proposal has got some great reviews. because again, this is direct stimulus going right back to the businesses and individuals to the tune of $1.1 billion. So for instance, those who qualify for the earned income tax credit, over 400,000 Marylanders qualify or receive the earned income tax credit. Once the legislation is passed, it's emergency legislation. So those who don't know much about the procedure or politics of, or, you know, in the legislature, you know, emergency legislation, once it's passed, it is effective. You don't wait till July 1st. You don't wait till October for it to become effective. Once the bill is passed in both houses and it is approved by the governor, it becomes effective that day. So with the earned income tax credit, this it builds on more than $700 million, or like the whole package of $1.1 billion builds on over $700 million of money that has already been allocated throughout the state. But in terms of the tax, in terms of the the earned income tax credit, immediate payments of $500 for families and $300 for individuals who qualify for the earned income tax credit. That's coming right into their pockets immediately. So that's a big that's a big thing for individuals. The other is making sure that unemployment and benefits aren't taxed. So those who are receiving unemployment benefits will not be subject to the income tax here in Maryland. So that's some of the components of the bill. I don't want to go, if you want me to go through all four provisions, I'm happy to do that. But those
are some Kiefer, Kiefer knows the best way that I will never argue with him if he just keeps going to the details, Delora. So he's just setting me up there. Delora, you're really a professional that is meeting this moment. I think like, you know, a few others that I've seen in the whole DMV, which is, you know, you were at Hopkins, led their government affairs. You know, you started one of the first managed care trade associations. You have a real instinct for healthcare issues. And, you know, now we're in the midst of this COVID situation. Love to hear what sort of your take is on the big issues you're facing as a professional.
Sure. I mean, certainly in the healthcare space, COVID is dominating everything. It's top of mind, not just there, but in every single thing that we touch. And we're seeing a lot of that with some of the legislation that's coming over. One that is that folks are really taking a close look at is the health equity resource communities. And so if folks were around back in 2012 and 2016, then Lieutenant Governor Brown kind of spearheaded the work around creating health enterprise zones. So it's kind of based off of that model. And it will provide grants that will be used to help to close the gap in based on race and income-based gaps in healthcare access by providing grants to mental health services and things and healthcare services and the like. And that is something that standing alone, even outside of COVID, would be a great thing to do. But I think it's even more timely now with what we're seeing with the pandemic. It's part of so many different issues that are interchangeable in that they are trying to tackle this by having all hands on deck. So another area that we looked at and seen where it's touching everything is broadband and the digital divide. You're having to help or try to figure out how to close that gap for Marylanders who do not have access to broadband. Well, if they don't have access to broadband, they can't utilize telehealth services. They can't utilize services to go to virtual school. They can't do virtual employment or their job virtually rather. So that is touching so much now with everyone having to rely on staying in their home. So we're seeing lots of legislation on that and how we can kind of ensure that Marylanders have broadband. But you're also seeing COVID affect liability considerations either in the workplace or most acutely in the healthcare space. with healthcare providers who are working diligently and who have been at the forefront, really concerned about how the pandemic is affecting some of the work that they're doing and whether or not there will be liability concerns. So it is really all encompassing, and I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, but it's just interesting to see how there are so many implications of this pandemic and the creative ways that the legislature is doing the business of the people, introducing bills to try to provide solutions.
Yeah, just real quick, one question on that. You know, it's we've had such a reduction in the mean age. In other words, the legislature got a lot younger over the last cycle, I think by over 10 years in one body. Again, details. But there's been a big change there. And those issues like telehealth, digital divide, always seem like out there. And now they're boom, right in front of everybody. And there's a sense of communal empathy now that everybody gets how these issues are connecting us all.
Yeah, for sure.
Can you tell me, before I jump over to Kiefer, can you tell me, you know, I've seen you in the State House. It looks like, you know, you've got certain committees that you've got to oversee. You've got a sort of path and domain down there. How is that all that converted to your laptop or your devices? I'd love to hear as a professional, give Kiefer a chance to think about how he's dealing with it. Because I think you're coming from different sides of the arena, but I'd love to hear how you're personally kind of managing it, and also as a brand new mom, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Congratulations, I think.
Thank you. It's tough. I think we all are having a little bit of Zoom fatigue. I provide a testimony today, and I forgot some of the rules that you adhere to when you're providing testimony, which is you eat before the hearing because you don't know when you're going to leave. And, you know, they still apply at home. I wanted to listen to all of the bills coming up to my bill, so I didn't want to leave from this spot. And I thought to myself, why didn't I eat? I should have eaten. But, you know, some of those rules still apply. But on the other hand, you know, it's tough because, and it depends on who you talk to as well. I've been around long enough that I can pretty much reach out to folks if needed. If you have someone that's kind of new coming down, it might be tougher to reach out to folks and get a hold of people. Like you can't go and camp out, you know, in the hall or in the lobby. And that's not to say I don't have to camp out because I've camped out. But you know, it is tough. It is very tough. And I think also because when you're working from home, a lot of people assume that, you know, it's a lot easier, but really we're already all working long hours during session and normal times. Right. And I think now we work from the time our feet hit the floor in the morning to the time we go to bed, and there's no kind of real escaping it. So it's tough. The procedure, I mean, it's needed. You wanna make sure that everyone is safe and all the members are safe and they're able to complete the entire 90-day session. So we can appreciate why it's needed and why they don't want lobbyists milling around. Although Kiefer, I read, was able to go into the State House on the opening day.
all the advantages, you know, so nice. Right. Everybody just, you know,
the rest of us will just, you know, use technology to our advantage. So yeah, it's tough though.
How about you, Kiefer, man? You live up in Baltimore, but your office down there, as you can see now, you're in the office and we saw the Washington Post, the Baltimore Sun, you were greeting the limited people that were allowed to come in there. Talk to me about how you're doing it.
Look, Dolores is absolutely right. It's a strange, surreal feeling for those of us that are used to opening day in a legislative session for 90 days. You know, Annapolis is buzzing early in the morning with breakfast receptions, hearings, floor sessions. Everyone's out on Main Street, evening receptions, things like that. the first day, you know, the State House is closed to the public. So our office is in the State House. We're subject to temperature checks every day. Those who are working on the second floor, which is the governor's office, we have to get a COVID test weekly. So we have to do that to make sure that we're healthy. We're not trying to infect anyone up here who are working up here. But on opening day and every day when the legislature comes in, you know, I'm the only one in the lobby. You know, that lobby is packed, as you know, between the House chamber and the Senate chamber with lobbyists out there working. Opening day, I had it all to myself as the Senate was going into session. They were coming up the stairs. I was like, hello. So, you know, I had no competition. It was great. I was able to get all my work done. And I wouldn't be surprised if all of the governor's administration bills move very quickly. You know, we got it all done like that. But on a serious note, you know, Annapolis is about relationships. And the relationships happen person to person. And so when you are calling someone or texting someone during this time period, under these circumstances, you have to have a very good relationship with that. So it is a strange feeling. Our hearings that start up next week, we are doing Zoom hearings with our team. You know, we follow the proceedings in the committees, just like everyone else. But, you know, it's a strange and surreal feeling for that. You know, some of the legislators are in their offices. So here we are in the governor's office. We're used to just walking over to the Senate building or the House building and knocking on the legislator's door and saying, hey, it's Kiefer from the governor's office, and they let us in. We are subject to temperature checks over in the House and Senate buildings, even though we get them here at the State House, and we have to make appointments. We can't just walk over there and flash ID. We have to make appointments, and we have to be escorted to the office, and we have to escort it out. So we're following the same procedures as everyone else here, and it's definitely a different field.
Thomas V. Mike Miller, no longer with us. We had a wonderful and wonderful long goodbye for the Senate president to the state he loved so much. For some of us, he was just the person that made it so fun.
Yep.
At such a young age, it was a benchmark of how much fun are we having, you know. And I'd love to hear, Delora, any thoughts you have. I know one of your partners, PJ Hogan, was, you know, as about as close as anybody with the Senate president. Just didn't know if you had any thoughts you wanted to share.
I mean, what can you say? He's a gentleman and a scholar. I think lots of folks around Annapolis, it's tough because they're mourning, you know, a titan. And just like when Speaker Bush passed away right before Sine died, I mean, we're starting session and we've lost President Miller. So it's tough. I mean, I think there's been a lot said about him in the last couple of days, just really outlining such a extraordinary political career. And I hope that we all have an opportunity to kind of, in time, take a look at what he's been able to do for the state. And I'm glad that folks were able to give him his flowers while he was still here, to a certain degree. The pandemic prevents there from being a huge kind of homegoing for him, but it's nice that he was able to hear from a lot of folks in the last year or so about how much he meant to Annapolis and to the state.
Yeah, Laura says something so poignant, because as I sit here in my office on the second floor of the State House, right there in the lobby, they're preparing to bring his body here for a small short ceremony this evening at 6 o'clock, of him arriving at the State House to lie in state under the dome next to the George Washington speech. His speech right here. There are flowers downstairs, and so, you know, President Miller will be coming home to the State House for the last time. And then there's sort of a semi-public viewing that's going to be live streamed tomorrow. But, you know, dignitaries have an opportunity, if you sign up, to go and pay your respects, socially distance. The Senate tomorrow convenes at noon to pay tribute to President Miller, where the governor will be speaking and all. So it is definitely a sad time here. You know, my family goes back to my Uncle Clarence came to the legislature in 1962. And Mike Miller came, I believe, in 67 in the House of Delegates, and they served together. And President Miller always said that when he was in the Senate, he served in the Senate with three Mitchells, and he lamented the fact that I didn't have the stones, so to speak, to run for the Senate. You know, I could have been the fourth Mitchell he could have served with. So, but we had a great relationship as a member of the House of Delegates. He got my first bill passed, took care of me. It was the last minute on the signy die. I was a rookie, first year legislator, just needed a small bill passed. And it was sitting in the on his desk around 9 o'clock on signy die. And he got it passed, and I got the message, and I went over to thank him. And he said, you know, keep doing what you're doing, Keith, or you're doing a good job. So he was not just this lion, so to speak, of the process and the legislature, but he was an excellent mentor to so many people and had great history and really knew the whole legislative process.
Well, hopefully we can keep his tradition alive a little bit through this podcast as we have so much fun together. Thank you, Delora.
Sure.
Kiefer.
Yes, sir. It's great to be here. Good to
see you. Thank you both. Thank you both. And I hope to have you on down the road. You can tell me how all those bills flew out of committee and or stayed in the drawer, whatever you need them to do. Thank you all so much for joining us on this inaugural edition of The Lobby.
Keep up the great work. Thanks.